In the heart of Waterloo, London, the Colombo Fitness Centre and Gym offers great outdoor pitches and courts for tennis, basketball, netball and football. With monthly memberships starting from £25.95 for inclusive gym and class facilities, or a great value £17.95 for local residents who join, the Colombo Fitness Centre has something for everyone. Find out more at colombocentre.co.uk or telephone 0207 261 1658 to join the Colombo Fitness Centre and Gym in Waterloo. Welcome everybody to the Two Guys on Fitness podcast. Usually for listeners, it's at this juncture I say coming to you from London, England. But this month it isn't coming to you from London, England. In fact, it's coming to you remotely from two different places. My name is Alan Teresa. I'm the average gym-going guy on the podcast. And I am talking to you today from northern Italy, actually from northeast Italy, up near the border near Slovenia. And my good podcast buddy, Julian Berthrad, the personal trainer here on the podcast, is also not in London, but he's going to tell us right now where he is. Hello, Julian, where are you?
Hello, Alan. I'm in the center of France in Clermont-Ferrand. And visiting my parents.
Well, that's quite lovely. Now, as regular listeners to the podcast will be aware, what we do every month is we talk about fitness, training, diet, and all things exercise related, which is what we're going to do in a minute or two, actually, funnily enough. Then I just want to say for listeners to the previous episode of the podcast, you may well be expecting a workout episode this week featuring Julian and a female companion. We were going to do a bit of a man-woman exercise episode, but unfortunately that has been rescheduled and we will be coming back to that at a later date. Instead, what we're going to talk about this month is training older people, particularly in fitness classes, and the issues that affect people as they get older and they want to maintain their fitness. We've got an interview coming up with a personal trainer called Trevor Andreas. Julian was good enough to do an interview with Trevor talking about this very topic. So how did that interview go, Julian?
Well, Trevor is an absolute lovely guy to talk to, and I've been knowing Trevor for a while now. And it's a long overdue interview because it was in my mind for a while. And I'm sure people remember, like, I was training elder people in group classes for Jubilee Hall in the past, and it went very well. He's highly skilled when it comes to that field, training elder people, and it was a pleasure to listen to what Trevor had to say.
Lovely. So without further ado, let's have a listen to that interview, and Julian and I will have a chat about it on the other side.
Hello everyone, today I'm having an interview with Trevor Andreas. And so Trevor is training elder people at Jubilee Hall. So let's start from the very beginning, like, how did you get into the fitness industry?
I actually got into fitness, believe it or not, with just doing exercise videos at home, because I had older brothers and sisters who had exercise videos and I thought, oh, that looks quite fun. So, and then I was doing those, and then I started going to classes, aerobics classes at the gym. And, you know, at some point I realized that I was sort of jumping higher and lunging lower than everybody else. And I just sort of became a little bit obsessed with it. But I actually studied media communication at university, and sort of after uni, I decided to go full time into fitness. So, you know, sometimes you've just got to follow your passions, whatever they may be.
Talking classes, the classes for elder people, how did you get started and how do you proceed with this category of people?
I think with that one, it's sort of a bit interesting how I got started, because it's like a lot of things with that particular group. I was already working at Jubilee Hall, and I think at that time I had a spin class or maybe two, well, or cycle class. I think basically what happened was the instructor didn't turn up, or it was a last minute cancellation, and they said, can you do it? And I said, well, I've never really taught it. I mean, I can do like a lower intensity class. And they said, okay, yeah, that's fine, because they didn't want the class cancelled. And it actually went very, very well. And I thought the people hated me because, you know, none of them were smiling at all during the class. But then afterwards, when I spoke to them, they said, oh, no, we were just concentrating. And it actually went well. And then eventually the person who was doing that class gave it up for whatever reason, because he was really, really popular, and they offered it to me. So I just sort of carried on with it. I mean, since that one, I have taken on other senior classes as well. And it's quite funny with the senior class, because a couple of the people from here have seen me teaching a class, a cycle class at another gym, and they could only hear me. They couldn't see that it was me, and they didn't realize it was the same person. They was like, oh my God, I didn't realize that that was you. You sounded so fierce there. But, you know, obviously you pitch yourself to whatever audience you have.
Yeah, it's very true. And I, in your case, I mean, like, I've been in Jubilee Hall for a bit more than 15, 16 years, and it's a very good skill that you have, that to be able to train every sort of person, every type of person, and elder people, that you need to be empathetic.
Yeah, exactly. You do need empathy. However, I have to say, you know, I don't often praise myself, but that was one thing that a lady once said to me, who was not a senior, she was just somebody I knew from another gym, and she said, out of all the instructors, you have the most emotional intelligence of, and that is a big part of this, because as you know, with this industry, sort of anyone can look great, anyone can learn about what exercises do or whatever, but it doesn't mean that that translates well, because you do need that empathy. And, you know, people talk about group exercise as if, you know, you're the instructor and the participants, but actually it's very much a two-way thing. And a lot of what I do standing at the front is based what people are doing in front of me. And you may or may not have seen me, but one thing that I often do is if I see somebody or people are not getting it, I will often go and change my teaching position and stand in the middle of the room or next to somebody and work along with people. But again, it is a very sensitive thing, because also you don't want to single anybody out or embarrass anyone. But again, you do need that empathy. And, you know, also teaching older people, I mean, let's also be specific. The older people I teach are generally people who don't have specific issues. You know, there is the odd hip or knee that's been replaced, but generally it's just that. You know, I'm not, you know, a specialist for medical conditions or anything like that, but generally the older people that I teach don't have any specific things. But again, with that, you will see there's a big difference in abilities. But also a lot of the stuff that I have for older people, it applies across the board. So this is another thing, which I'm sure you do as well. You know, you train somebody and you saw them on Monday, and then when you saw them 5 days later, you notice there's a completely different energy that they have. And you just think, you're really struggling today, but you weren't struggling a few days ago, and you might not be struggling in 5 days, because you have to also respect what is going on and where that person is today.
For me, classes like that, I mean, taking care of elder people really is contagious for in the gym, on the gym floor, because as you just say, like being empathetic, getting to know the people, a knowledge that some day are different to another for some people, and to notice that, I think is a human quality, and sometimes fitness misses those quality.
Yes, again, that's actually a good point as well, because it is going back to the empathy. I have people who go to my normal aerobics classes who used to be dancers or whatever, and you know, off the top of my head, there's one lady I can think of who's 80, and she does my normal classes. And literally, if you were to see her from behind, you would think it's a 35-year-old who's doing those moves. And obviously, when you see her from the front, you get a different impression. But the thing is with that, you know, you can have two people of the same age, but they're not in the same place for whatever reason. I mean, talking about the sort of seniors class that I do at Jubilee Hall in particular, even within that, there is a range of abilities there, which you've probably seen because you've also worked with that group in the past. So you see that there's a difference in ability, even though they're all roughly similar age. The thing with that is, I mean, because of the nature of what I do, it's a weight program. You can make it as hard or as easy as you want to, depending on your resistance. And that's basically in a nutshell. You have to reinforce that you can make it as easy or as difficult as you want.
Do you think about your parents, your grandparents, when you do this kind of class?
That's kind of a bit of a touchy subject with that, because you can look at people sort of in the older generations. I look at my family, who I have to say I love them more than anyone in the world, but I just see their life could have been improved if they'd exercised. And again, this is a very important one as well. I mean, you know, people sort of from my mum's generation, and, you know, she was actually born in Cyprus, you know, there are a lot of people, women of that age, who believe that if you were a female and you exercised, you were going to damage yourself beyond repair. And, you know, there was always a big fear about that. And it's not just that. I mean, I still get older. Unfortunately, the stereotype often is true that, you know, a lot of older participants, you know, women, will think that working out with weights will damage them or make them look masculine. And it, as you know, it's not true. But I think information changes. But, you know, obviously, when I teach older people, I do think of my own parents and just thinking, oh, it would have been nice if it could have been them doing this as well. But, you know, I'm happy to extend the life of other people's parents in my own little way.
It's very nice of you. And I think, like you, of my parents, and I would love them to have the possibility to have classes like that in France.
As I mentioned, I do another seniors class at another gym. There is a big difference between those seniors and the seniors that I have, you know, in this one, for instance, because a lot of, you know, what I do in the other gym is that those people do regular classes as well. And for all intents and purposes, it's as difficult as just a general fitness class. Whereas with this, it is a little bit more wound down. But again, you know, you could be doing the workout with 10 kilogram weights in your hand, and it would be a very, very different workout than using 2 kilograms in each hand. So there is that aspect about it. But as you quite rightly say, everyone is sort of at a different phase in their journey. And, you know, some of those people that I have here, you can tell that they were never sort of avid exercisers in their life, but, you know, they've sort of kept it going. And some of them you can still see that are very, very sort of sprightly for their age. I mean, I'm sure you've seen it when you've worked with them as well. And again, you have to sort of try to make everybody feel that they're welcome and that what they're doing is worthwhile. Because this is another sort of bugbear of mine that I always see in the fitness industry that I really, really don't like, is when you'll get somebody criticizing somebody, saying, oh, you shouldn't be doing that, you should be doing this, and, oh, don't do that, it's a waste of your time, do this instead. And that can sometimes be a very valid criticism. But also, statistically, the people who exercise is still really, really low. And the fact that anybody comes to a gym and does anything is a really, really big positive. So I don't think people should necessarily be given too hard a time if I think their weight is too light. I mean, you've probably heard me say in the class, you know, once your exercise gets too easy, pick up a heavier weight. Now, about 99% of the time, nobody will ever do that. Occasionally, somebody will. But, you know, I've suggested it because that's sort of putting a positive on it. Putting a negative on is saying, oh, you're too light, you're not doing anything, you're wasting your time. And if somebody feels like they're wasting their time, they're not going to bother. And, you know, also, you've probably noticed, despite my attention to detail, I do keep the atmosphere quite light-hearted, because, again, there's nothing worse. You know, if you're not a serious fanatic of fitness, there's nothing worse than going to something that's not fun. It will end up just feeling like, oh, I've got to go and do that hour at the gym. But really, you should be looking forward to it, not hesitating.
People easily forget in this industry that how not natural it is for a bunch of people to train. And as a rugby man myself, it's not a straightforward path from rugby to training. it's a different atmosphere, different, you know, mechanic. And so the attitude you have towards this is excellent. And I think that that's why people come back, because it's for everyone. And it's, as you say, the battle is not won so far, because in the UK society or the French, or I'm sure in Cyprus too, and everybody is not training. There's a lot of people who are not training.
Yeah, I think everyone, as you say, the journey is never straightforward.
Yes, I think it's a wise word here to finish. And for people who want to know how look Trevor, we will do a couple of pictures together to promote this interview. And you will see. It's thank you for your time, and I hope everybody enjoyed this interview like I did.
So that's Julian and Trevor Andreas there having a conversation about training older people and the issues that older people face as they get older but want to maintain their fitness. So let me ask you, Julian, first of all, what's your experience of training older people? Because I think you also have trained classes for older people in the past, and some of your clients are retirees. Is that the case?
Well, I mean, the experience is, yeah, we do get older, and we do get older in different way, I would say. Some because it was a group class, I could see that people have different age issues. Sometimes it was like just a back issue, knee issue, shoulder issue, ribs issue. On an heavier matter, something like some people had early on Parkinson's disease and stuff like that. And yeah, it is, you do realize that getting older is not a nice thing sometimes. However, there is things you can do to fight it, to fight the process, and training, remaining active socially as well, speaking and physically speaking, really help people to buy quality time as well, to have a longer life, but quality longer life. So yeah, it is that's what I learned from this active Jubilee class.
And do older people have specific training needs, or can they simply adapt what the training a younger person, for example, would be doing?
Well, on that matter, I will paraphrase the NHS statement on their website. Surprisingly, for some people, not to me necessarily, they reckon that you can train somebody 70 more or less the same way that somebody 20. But what you need to do is to include balance exercise when you get older, because we do lose these kind of things in getting older. So what I learned from training elder people, and that we get older in different way. Some of the people I used to train were having just arthritis, you know, issues. Some of them were having like a knee, back injury, ribs. Some of them were having, they were just starting to have Parkinson's disease. So it's very, you know, like you do realize that if you don't take care of your body, it's not going to end up very well. So it just reminds you the priority of training and remaining active socially and physically all your life, not like waiting to be 70 or plus to do that.
And what are the priorities for older people maintaining their fitness?
Well, I will paraphrase the NHS website here. It might surprise some people. I was not surprised myself, but they reckon that you can train somebody who is 70 the same way you will train somebody 20. But you need to make sure to add balance exercise for the elder. And it's also something I keep in my mind when I train myself, even if I'm not a very old person. I always make sure I add some exercise that challenge my balance. And also, for example, I keep playing tennis now and then over the year, because it's very good to stimulate your brain and also your muscle, but stimulate your brain. Sharp brain and sharp muscle go together. There is no point to have sharp muscle if your brain is not actively engaged every day.
And is super aging a realistic option for most people? You know, this idea of focusing on certain activities, both mental and physical, to extend a lifespan so it's as full as possible.
Oh, yes, it is. I mean, you do see it, you know, every day. The people you know, I do notice already different between people I met when I go back to France now and then every 6 months, and I can see people same age like mine, like 40, and some of them are the same age as me, but they already seems to be a decade behind, and you go on and on. I insist, it's a lot of people think like the gym is everything. It is partially important because it's what you want. It's to, again, have a sharp brain. Exercising help to focus, you know, to your brain is at work when you train. But also equally, socially speaking, make sure you meet people, you engage with other people. And that's very important too. So I think sometimes people forget, like I see people spending far too much time in the gym. Be efficient with your time at the gym. And then you got life living out there, you know. So it's, but yeah, it is the food as well. You know, it's a huge topic. So we can talk the whole podcast about it. But yeah, it is eating well. It's not because you get older that you have to change your habits. That's the point. You should behave, keep training with the same intensity myself, like I did 10 years ago, and I intend to do that in the next 10 years and the next 20 years.
Marvelous. So, I just want to ask finally, how can people contact Trevor Andreas if they are interested and they happen to be within shouting distance of Jubilee Hall Gym in Covent Garden? And they want to perhaps sign up for one of his classes.
To talk to Trevor Andreas, you can contact Jubilee Hall Gym in Covent Garden. You can also contact the Armory based in Hampstead, the Jubilee Hall sister gym. And I'm sure they will direct you to Trevor. He's there all week between these two gyms. So he's a very easy person to find and to talk to.
And if you do want to get in touch with Jubilee Hall Gym, probably the best option is to go to their website, which is jubileehallgym.co.uk.
Our very own Alan Teresa has recently published his first novel, Adventures About to Begin. It's a family saga from the 1970s, and it's funny, dramatic, and moving. Check it out on Amazon, from all good bookshops, in ebook, and find out more on alanteresa.com.
So every month on the podcast, as regular listeners will be aware, we take out two questions that have come into us from the lovely, wonderful listeners. We choose a couple of questions that we think will be most interesting to talk about, and we do our best to answer or discuss those questions or the points that listeners make. So, first up, it is me. I'm just looking at my notes here on the screen. And first of all, we have a question from Rosa, who has got in touch through our website and asked the following question. There's no details on Rosa herself, but this is the question. Quote, how regularly do you really exercise each week? I manage 2 to 3 times a week at my local gym, never any more. So there you go. So putting aside the personal trainer kind of veneer, how many times a week, Julian, do you realistically and regularly train each week?
Well, it's I would say listen to your gut. I mean, it's a bit like I'm not kicking in touch air, but it's basically if 2-3 times a week seems enough to you, just keep doing that. It's a bit the same metaphor with the food, you know, how much people should eat or feel like that. Well, I mean, you have to listen to your stomach, to your gut as well. So personally, I train 5 times a week, but it's my own dynamic, you know. And who knows, maybe next year we'll drop and do 2-3 times. I think if after doing 2-3 times a week, you don't feel again stimulating, a bit sore. Well, it means like you can do a bit more. But I will say more than the number of time you go to the gym. Every time you come, make sure you get something out of it. For me, to get something out of it is like to feel my body being pushed a little bit and feeling all the muscle with the right form as well. So you have a sense like when you control your workout, when you understand your workout, and when the pace is right, all overall it gives you a feeling of strength. So if it's 2 times, then 2 times is good. See, if it's 3 times, 3 times is good. So you get the point. And I hope it answers your question. It's, they are all different when it comes to exercising. Sometimes I think every day is good for me. I might change my mind in the future. And you, Alan, how many times do you train per week?
Well, I tend to follow a on-day and off-day kind of regime when I can. And obviously, that gets interrupted by events, I suppose. Funnily enough, I'm supposed to be working out later today, but I did a big legs workout the day before yesterday, and my legs are still really sore. So what's your advice, personal trainer Julian Bertharet? Should I work out later on today? I'm supposed to be doing an upper body workout. Or should I wait until my legs feel less stiff and lactic acid-y?
Well, to allow muscle grow, yeah, you should let your muscle being less sore, you know, as you rightly say, and to do it again. A muscle tired won't be working properly. So yeah, the idea is to allow yourself to have a fair amount of time of recovery between session and between body part, obviously.
Great, that means I don't have to work out later. Fantastic, I can just eat junk food and watch TV. Okay, moving on. I think you're next, Julian, with the second and final question for the month.
Yes, it's true. Next, a question from Fabian via our Facebook page, who asks the following question. What do you think about the mental health debate? A real thing? And if so, why is it such a big deal right now? Or just a lot of crap?
Yes. Yes. What colourful language at the end there. Mental health is obviously a big topic at the moment. It's all over the news, partly as a kind of lingering effect also of the dreaded lockdowns of 2020 to 2022, I would say. But is it something that is as pressing, particularly for young people, do you think? Or is it just a moment in time?
Well, I mean, the pandemic certainly increased, you know, this issue. And I think it's... I mean, I'm not a doctor, you know, so I just like, I keep my ears open and listen to what people say, and especially when it comes to clients or members, like, what's their motivation about, you know, why is it training? And I don't think it's a lot of crap, but I would say it's just a kind of overload of information sometime about this. We all know that training helps to tame our anger. So yes, it's a mental issue, but whatever it is, it helps to tame yourself. And it's been like that like for decade and decade. So just now we label that in the mental health debates. But yeah, training is good. The good thing with this kind of debate is kind of bring back people to why are we training? What for? And yeah, for me, it's because it may help me to balance myself in any way, to tame myself, also to feel better, to make me feel good. And yeah, it is, we always say that it's a cheap medicine to train. So, and yeah, I think it's, and now maybe people are more open about it, so they talk about it, maybe that. But yeah, the debate is good because it reminds everybody why training is important. And yeah, it's important to help you in any way it's possible.
Indeed. So I hope that's useful for you, Fabian, and that you're not suffering from anxiety yourself. Anxiety is one of those buzzwords at the moment that is flying about all over the media and online. And remember, everybody, if you want to get in touch, if you've got any questions or comments or whatever, you could do so through our website, twoguysonfitness.com, or through his website,
julienbertera.com.
Or you can get in touch through our socials, our Instagram, our Facebook, our Twitter, all that kind of stuff. And we love it when people get in touch. So don't hold back. So there you go. That's another episode of the podcast done and dusted for the month. Julian in France, me in Italy. Though you'll be pleased to hear that next month we will be back in London and also recording together at the Colombo Sports and Fitness Centre, where we're going to do another exercise episode of the podcast, and you'll be able to watch Julian taking you through one of his combo exercise routines on video. So, Julian, I say au revoir to you.
Absolutely. Arrivederci, Alan. Enjoy Italy, and we will meet up soon in London.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until we meet again,
enjoy your workout.